Welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily on a Wednesday. We're rocking and rolling through hour number one, and we are happy to bring in our KU insider, Shreyas Lada, to join the program. Shreyas's work can be found at the KC Star. Glad to have Shreyas in again this week. It is a, Shreyas, it's not a good week. And I think there was, on Saturday, especially after the game, there was very much a sky is falling mentality, at least the, among the KU fans that I communicate with during these games, kind of get the, you can fight. But the reality is, I don't think an at-large is coming out of the Big 12 anyway. So they still got to win the Big 12 championship. And I do think we have seen enough early on to maintain that this is a team that will be contending for a Big 12 title. The defense has been fantastic. The run game is as good as we thought, but maybe even the offensive line is, I would say, ahead of what we thought. Jalen Daniels is clearly not. He is behind, way behind where we thought he would be, but there are enough things there. They were better than Illinois, right? It's a very frustrating loss, but they were a better team than Illinois. I don't know if you feel this. I don't take anything away and say, nope, they're not going to contend for a Big 12 title. I still absolutely think that they can.
I was talking to Carter Stanley about this, former KU quarterback that I do film reviews. And, you know, it was a weird loss because it's how much of the issues that we saw on Saturday are they going to repeat this Friday? And then I can determine where KU's at, because I don't know if this is the version of Jalen Daniels we're going to see. I don't think he's going to throw three picks, but if he's not the 2022 version or what he was three games last year, I think KU could be in trouble. If he's struggling to throw balls to the right places, you know, accuracy decisions, underthrown balls, he just didn't really look like himself. And I'm willing to kind of throw this game away. It's a wash. Worst game of his career. It happened. That's fine. But he has to look good against UNLV. And we were going back and looking at, since Jeff Grimes took over, obviously the UNLV bowl game last year, they had him there but not quite calling plays. But the quarterbacks combined between him and Jason Bean in that time, I think they have 10 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. I don't know if that's just careless decision-making part on the guys that have played, or it's just the offense hasn't really found the rhythm that they hope to find, but you know, I think it's too early to count Kansas out from the Big 12 contention, like you guys said. But for me, that loss was an alarming loss because I think they were the better team than Illinois. I think they had themselves a chance to win that game multiple times, and they blew it because of careless errors or mistakes, whether it was Jalen or even the defense once or twice. And just looking at what the schedule is, everything that we thought, like games that we thought were easy, are not as easy as we once thought they were. West Virginia is now a tough game. UNLV could be a toss-up. I really don't know if they'll cover 7. You know, the spread is 7 points. Like, I really don't know what Kansas team is going to show up on Friday. We know Lance Leipold does a good job of bouncing back after losses. We know that, you know, this team has a lot of promising parts to it. The defense looks better. The offensive line is pretty good. The running game is good. But at the end of the day, if Jalen Daniels isn't the Jalen Daniels that we thought he was, then Kansas could be in trouble.
At the University of Kansas, I think to myself to this point that compared with past years, this is still a much more physical football team than it's been over the years. You know, this was an offensive line that I thought had some good moments. They had some physicality, a lot more physicality than they've had in past years. I think you would probably agree with that. Just observing, just looking at line surge, looking at coming off the ball, those kind of things. You know, that's something to work with, though, Shreyas. That is something that you know, you either have it or you don't. And if you don't have it, it is tough, and I'm talking about the ability to control the line of scrimmage. If you don't have that ability, the season's long for any team. And I guess what I'm trying to say is there's a lot of things that need to be fixed, that need to get better, but I think the possibilities are there to get better because you got an offensive line that I think is okay. At least in comparison to where they've been over the years, it's a lot better in my opinion. Is that one way to look at this? If you're looking at the overall picture, you got a shot because you can be physical.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we look at the offensive line, like you said, it's more physical. They did a great job of creating some holes for the running backs. I think the big thing is the play calling going to give the ball to Devin Neal and Daniel Highsmith more, right? Like, I wrote a story about this yesterday, but I went back and looked at the stats and some of the game and stuff like that. In the fourth quarter, Devin Neal touched the ball twice. Jalen Daniels went 3 of 8. In comparison, Illinois ran the ball 12 times. And they also had one quarterback scramble. They completely dominated the time of possession in the fourth quarter. They were dominant the entire fourth quarter. Kansas didn't really have a chance even on that last drive. I think the offensive line is a lot better than I thought they'd be after the guys who have left, and you know, they brought in new guys. I think that was a worry of mine coming in this year. I think the running game looks even better than last year. A lot in chance because of Devin Neal being Devin Neal and Daniel Highshaw being Daniel Highshaw. But at the end of the day, I'm going to keep going back to this. But my belief in Kansas football hinges on the ability of Jalen Daniels being a top 15, top 10 quarterback in the nation. If he's not that, you can throw out the Big 12 championship title chances out the window, in my opinion.
So that's what's been interesting to me now. And I don't know enough about Illinois to make that sort of declaration, but I almost think the identity has shifted a little bit for what I thought of KU football this year. I think they may be a better running team than I thought. They're certainly going to be a better defense than I thought. And I just wonder if that's not enough, if Jalen Daniels can make better decisions. It is very hard for me to imagine that we're going to see 2022 Jalen Daniels out there now. And I don't know that there's any leash or anything, or there needs to be a quarterback change. That stuff's so far down the road. What I'm trying to figure out is, can they be a run first defense team with Jalen Daniels scaling back what we've seen of the best of Jalen Daniels and being less than that? I think they're better in those other areas than I thought they would be. I'd at least give it a shot based on what we've seen so far. And that takes us to the play calling issue for Grimes. But, and here's why I'm glad we have you in here, because you were in the room with Leipold this week when he basically informed us that some of those were RPOs, not called passes. Now, okay, if that's the case, still, fool me once, all right. By the third time, you don't give him the RPO. You say, run the dang ball. Like we're not going to, we've seen this song and dance now. This is not your option anymore. You run the football. So I still think it was a play calling issue, even if it wasn't as direct as maybe we thought it was.
No, I completely agree. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, until we see what this season becomes, everyone is going to be watching what's happening down at Penn State and wondering what is happening over there. Because Andy Kotelnicki, you can say whatever about Penn State's defense, you can say whatever about what the talent level they have there, which seems to be better than even Kansas, but he's cooking down there. And unfair or fair, everyone's going to compare Jeff Grimes to him. And the eyeballs are magnified this week, especially against a UNLV team that doesn't have the best defense. If they come out and they throw the ball 100 times, it feels like it could be another long week. And to me, this is another trap game. Like Illinois was a trap game. Like this is a game that if Kansas doesn't bring their A game on the offensive end, they could lose, because UNLV can run the heck out of the ball. They put up 500 yards on Utah Tech. I know Utah Tech is Utah Tech, but that's 500 yards. They have a quarterback that can scramble that has given Kansas traditionally the last 2 years a ton of trouble. They did a good job against Illinois. Let's see what happens in UNLV. They have an All-American preseason wide receiver, so the secondary is going to have their hands full. It's a game to me that it's stupid to think about what happened in December, because it's just a completely two different teams. Okay. And I think there is a path to victory, like you said, where you run the ball and Jalen Daniels is not counted on to be the Jalen Daniels of the old. My issue with that is when you get later in the season and the wins become more important and we're getting towards the chance of them trying to get to a Big 12 title game, is that good enough to beat some of these teams? Is that good enough to beat Iowa State? Is that good enough to beat Kansas State? Is that good enough to beat Baylor? You know, like those three teams could all be games that could help flip them from title contention to making the Big 12 title. And if you make the Big 12 title, which is way, way ahead of time, and I think we, as people who have looked at Kansas have talked about it too much that, oh, we like I'm guilty of this too. Oh, I think this team can contend for Big 12. I don't even know that anymore. Like, let's go back to, can they beat UNLV this week?
Sure.
Because if they lose to UNLV this week, they're tilted. They're falling down. They're playing Morgantown. They're playing West Virginia in the road. And things can be, you could be 1-3 heading to Arizona State just like that. And I'm not trying to say the sky is falling. We're not there yet. But let's take a step back. Let's look at UNLV. Let's not talk about Big 12 title contention. I mean, Carter Stanley told me it best. Let's not talk about Big 12 title until the end of October.
But Trius, the problem with this year is there's never been expectations like this in a long time. I just think you can't not look at that. That's what people wanted and expected. Inside the locker room, totally. I get it. Mm-hmm. Yep. Don't look ahead. You can't look ahead. Man, the fan base is not going to not look ahead because that's what that was the promise of this season, right? That's what everybody's so excited about. And I just don't think all that much has changed other than Jalen Daniels is whether he gets there or not. He's not there yet. I don't know if he's going to get there. That's where I'm more curious because we have seen teams. We've seen Kansas State do it in years where they haven't been great at quarterback, but they've dominated the lines. They've been a good defense. They take care of the ball and they run the ball. And it's been good enough. And I think that's what KU's identity is right now.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree, and I get why fans do it, why media does it. I mean, I'm guilty of thinking about what's ahead because that's natural life. I think I will say this to the KU fan base. I think basketball has spoiled people beyond belief, and we put these expectations on this football team that maybe they're not quite there yet, okay? And I'm guilty of it just as like anybody else is guilty of it because I had them winning 11 this year. Now I don't know if they're going to win 9. And I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility to say that because to me, like if Jalen Daniels is not making the right decisions, not even about throwing interceptions, how much can you trust him to make the right decision on options? How much can you trust him to, you know, not play hero ball out there? We've seen him do that a few times against Nevada last year. We know he's a very talented quarterback. We know he's very good. But whatever happened against Illinois, whether it was them just being confused by coverages, does that mean he's going to struggle against Big 12 teams when they disguise coverages really well? I don't know that. Maybe he will. Maybe he won't. And that's a big weakness to point out. And I think this team is going to have to be as balanced as possible for them to win a Big 12 title. I don't think you can run Devin Neal, Dan Hyshaw to the ground. As much as Kansas fans think that is the solution to the problem, I think it's going to be, yes, you need to run them more, but you need Jalen to be at least 80% of as he was. Right now, we're not close. He's making terrible decisions with the football. He's doing things that we've never seen Jalen Daniels do since he was a freshman. And if you go back and you watch that Illinois game from last year, that tape looks like a guy who should play on Sundays. You watch the tape from today, and you're going to sit there, and people will be like, well, if you've never seen Jalen Daniels play, and be like, is this guy good enough to start a quarterback? And I obviously – he is. It's not about that. It's about, for me, seeing what makes him successful and being able to make up and minimize some of the things that he's doing. Like, why was every shot in the game a deep ball or a screen pass? What happened to the intermediate passing game that he was so, so good at the last 2 years? Why does that disappear? Where are the tight ends? They haven't been involved. I know they don't have Mason Fairchild anymore, but Jared Casey should be involved more. Trevor Cordell should be catching the ball more. Right? Those two things. And what is up with this hyper-targeting? Why is he hyper-targeting Luke Grimm? 7 of his 9 completions in the first half was to Luke Grimm. The one interception, that first one, was a pass to Luke Grimm. The second half, I think he did the same thing with Lawrence Arnold. I don't know what is happening, but it doesn't look like he's going through his reads as well as he was. And it looks like he's more predictable as a quarterback than he's ever been. And I don't know if it's a mental thing or if that's just Illinois' defense being that good. And I guess we'll find out Friday. But to me, the biggest thing I want to see on Friday is Jalen Daniels looking as good as you think he can look, or at least close.
Well, it's interesting you put it that way because, you know, for a Jalen Daniels-led football team like the University of Kansas is right now, I'm sitting here looking at the schedule and I'm thinking to myself, this might be just about as good a schedule as you can actually have. I mean, considering the fact you don't have Utah, you don't have Arizona, you don't there are several teams that Texas Tech, I don't know where they're going to be, but they may end up being a pretty good team. Not on schedule, Sharice. And this is one of those times, and I hate to put it like this, but if ever there was a year, you know, that old saying, if ever there was a year, this is the year where the University of Kansas really has an advantage with the schedule. I'm not saying it's not hard. It is hard. It's going to be tough. Obviously, you got 21 ranked Iowa State, and what a finish they had. I watched the fourth quarter of that game on Sunday, on Saturday against Iowa. You know, Iowa State's a good football team, but I don't know that they're as good as Utah. I don't know. You know, I don't know that they wouldn't be, but about a third or fourth place team in the Big 12. But the schedule is so advantageous. This is the year you take advantage of this kind of thing because you know you got the Houstons, you got BYU's, you got Colorado, you got Baylor. I hate to throw Baylor in my own school in there, but that's not exactly murderer row. It's now or never, isn't it?
No, I absolutely agree. Like, this schedule was made for them to make that yes. Big 12 title.
Thank you.
Yes. I was talking to Carter about this one before we were filming. You know, every year, like programs like Kansas have this opportunity every 15 to 20 years where they can make a special magical run to win a Big 12 title and maybe the college football playoffs. If it's this, it's this year or bust for Kansas. 30 guys are leaving next year. I don't know if they're going to win five next year. Lance has not been able to get a recruiting class as good as Les Miles. If you go back and look at the last three classes he's brought in, this is probably the most successful one so far, the 2024 class that just came in. I think they know that. I think the seniors know that. I think Jalen knows that. And like, it's one of those things that like they have to take advantage of a weak schedule. But I also don't think the schedule is as weak as I thought it was 2 weeks ago. Like, you know, Arizona State doesn't look like the worst team in the conference. Right. Baylor's going to be a tough out in Waco. You know, Colorado probably will fall apart by the time, who knows if Shador's even playing. So I think they'll win that game.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Kansas State game was already a toss-up. But now, whatever we have, these problems that we've kind of expanded and kind of come out, who knows? And, like, I'm not trying to scare KU fans. But I think I jumped the wagon a little bit on 11 wins. Maybe I'm wrong and they just go on an incredible run and I turn out to be correct. But I think we're in for a couple of doozy games where they might drop that they should have won.
And back to the original point, it's okay. 12 teams get in. The Big 12 champion gets in. It's not the season's over after an Illinois loss. Doesn't really matter. If you get into a Big 12 championship game and you win, you're in. That could come, I think, this year with three or four losses. I just don't think anybody in the league is going to be able to do that. So sky's not falling. There are certainly a lot of things to figure out. All right, Trius, a big one, Friday Night Football. What do you have for us at the KC Star this week?
Yeah, I have my film breakdown kind of coming out later today. This Sunday, I should have a kind of a small feature on College Football 25 and Kansas football. And talked to a bunch of guys about them playing the game and if it's helped them on the field and stuff like that, which would be fun. We'll have my prediction come out in the next few days. Obviously, mailbag, typical game coverage. I'm excited for it. I think it should be a fun, high-scoring matchup on both ends. And I think this will be a really good test for the KU defense against a good offensive side.
Sharice Latta, follow him on X. Follow his work at the KC Star. We appreciate it. It's a crazy week for KU football. I think things are going to settle in. From a betting perspective, I love the under, and I think I might like to lay the points. I think KU is going to respond this week.
I think so too, and I hope so because my mentions were a dumpster fire on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and I'd like to them not have the fire Jeff Grimes and all this other stuff in my mentions. And Kansas fans, when they lose, are the most miserable beings on earth.
Boy, that's true.
So is every college football fan. No, nobody has adjusted yet to the fact that it's a 12-team playoff.
That's true.
Nobody has. It's just not that big a deal. Unless you thought they were going to run the table and go unbeaten and be an at-large, it's not that big a deal. What is a big deal is that they fix it before they start playing conference games. All right, Shreyas, we appreciate it. We'll talk again next week.
All right, thanks for having me, guys.
There goes Sharia Slaughter. Find all that work at the KC Star. Yeah, look, I had the same reaction from KU fans. Like this is, it's not over. It doesn't matter. In reality, it doesn't, unless you really thought KU was running the table or would have one loss going into the final week of the season.
Right.
Loss is irrelevant.
Quick question. KU fans, bigger bad losers than K-State fans?
Nah, everybody's a bad loser when it comes to sports, Paul.
I got you.
I mean that. Like, I promise you, if K-State didn't get that done against Tulane, they'd have been just as miserable in agony of defeat.
Oh, probably worse. Yeah.
Well, and especially in college football, right? Because forever we've been trained to say one loss and the season's over. So everybody, like, that's the reaction. Are you kidding me? You don't think Ohio State and Michigan fans, like all these fans of these school, like, that's why college football is going to be so much better this year. Mm-hmm. We got to adjust to it still. We got to retweak our psyches to understand that it's okay.
I got you.
It's not who's the best team at the end of the
year. Good point. You're exactly right.
We'll come back. Kevin Saul joins us. No football there at Wichita State, but we got volleyball in session. We'll see what the latest on the softball facilities is. They've got a big day coming up. We get the latest on Shocker Athletics when we return. It's all Brockton Savage. It's Sports Daily. Don't go anywhere.
In Odyssey Sports Station, this is 97.5 and 1240 KFH, KNSS HD2 Clearwater, Wichita's most listened to sports radio.